unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. If we have ever received favor from God, we must recognize it as God's bountiful dealing. Whether we consider the favor to be small or great, we must recognize it as God's bountiful dealing. If our eyes have been opened, our ears have been opened, our heart has been opened to receive the things and to perceive the things of the Spirit of God, then the Lord has dealt bountifully with us. If we should unwisely compare ourselves with others, we may become distressed. We may say, well, my experience is not to be compared with theirs. This is a wrong manner of things. We do not well to compare ourselves with others. This the Scriptures tells us about. Let us therefore be thankful if the Lord has dealt bountifully with us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if we can say that, then the Lord has dealt bountifully with us. With the shepherd, our shepherd, there is no scarcity. Have you ever found God speaking to you and warning you in case there's not enough to go round? For a fullness resides in Jesus our head, which ever abides to answer our need. Our Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Now the psalmist here says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Singing is a very important part of most people's makeup naturally. When do we sing? We sing when we feel some measure of joy in our hearts, even a lightness upon our spirits. This is naturally so. But when do we sing in the spiritual sense of the word? When we may feel the sweet favor of God resting upon our spirit, and when even a promise comes to cheer our troubled breast and we sing, or then again, we may rejoice in the foundation which standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Then we shall say, I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We would come this evening, with the Lord's help, to observe a few occasions wherein the people of God will sing because the Lord hath dealt bountifully with them. Every revelation of the Lord God will be an occasion to sing. Let us consider that great word, him that sitteth in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his guard. And we may well sing while sitting in darkness. I think John Bunyan says, walls do not a prison make. And one of his characters, if I remember rightly, was heard to sing. We find similarly that Paul and Silas, they sang in the prison at Philippi. They had sore backs, they were put fast in the stocks. They had not their natural freedom. They were, to call in man's eyes, condemned. And yet they sang. And they sang praises unto God. Why did they sing praises unto God? Because the Lord had dealt bountifully with them. But how had the Lord dealt bountifully with them? He had dealt bountifully with them in the past, and may we not say that their faith was persuaded that the Lord would deal bountifully with them in the immediate future? And how true this was, for in the immediate future there was to be the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Therefore they sung in anticipation of what God would do. Since God had dealt bountifully with them hitherto, would not God continue to deal bountifully with them? Since God had opened the heart of Lydia, so to speak, in the morning, would he not also deal with others in the evening? Would he not bring the jailer into concern? So from that point of view, we may observe the working of the Spirit of God in the hearts of Paul and Silas, wherein they sung at midnight. I think it is in the 119th Psalm somewhere that we read, "At midnight I will arise and sing." If we look at this from the spiritual point of view, midnight, a very dark hour, shall we truly arise and sing? From the Word of God, it is clear that there is such an experience that even at midnight, the Lord by His Spirit will cause people to arise and sing. And in your darkest hour, maybe sometimes the Lord has brought to your remembrance all the things that He has done for your soul. And though the hour be dark, though the future may seem uncertain, yet will you not arise and sing, because there is a remembrance that He hath dealt bountifully with me. He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through, and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to His praise. But then I will see when the Lord commands deliverances for Jacob. We read in the Minor Prophets, "By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small." And one of our hymns takes the point like this: "By whom shall Jacob now arise? For Jacob's friends are few, and what may fill us with surprise, they seem divided too." Can we still sing? Well, we shall sing when the Lord will cause Jacob to arise. You will remember, going back to the book of Genesis, of the occasion when there was a wrestling the angel with Jacob, and the angel put his hand on Jacob's thigh, and when Jacob arose, he limped, and he limped as far as we can judge all the rest of his days. I will sing unto the Lord, because He hath dealt bountifully with me. At the remembrance of an occasion when perhaps God has put His hand upon us in an affliction or something similar, and that mark has remained, and the effect of that has remained, and we've been affected by that situation, by that came forth of the affliction all our life long. But shall we not say, "I will sing and give unto the Lord"? And for this reason, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. It is good for us sometimes for God to mark a blessing with even a mark on our bodies. And God does this sometimes so that when we look at that mark, we may remember the blessing of God that attended it. Hence, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath dealt bountifully with me. The occasion of Jacob's blessing was remarkable, because the Lord said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. The greatest blessings are often attended by some mark upon us, so that we shall not forget them. And yet, looking at it, shall we not say, a bodily affliction, a weakness, may be cherished because it reminds us of a time when God caused us to sing. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath dealt bountifully with me. But then, Jacob was a great sinner. He was a supplanter, a deceiver. As you look at him, he was a dishonorable man, not worthy to be saved, a person according to the natural view of things that should have been rejected. But oh, the great mercy of God that should have put Joseph, put Jacob within the covenant of God's grace. And are you one of the worst of sinners? Are you one of the worst characters? Do you feel that you're less than the least of all saints, the very chief of sinners? It's not saying these things, it's feeling them. How wonderful will be the abundant mercy of God if God has made known to you the way of salvation. Will it not cause you to come in with the psalmist, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath dealt bountifully with me. He has saved me by his grace. Now this brings our attention. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord my Savior. How good it is when the Lord God becomes a real person to us. Not just an imaginary figure in our brain. Not just a word which describes someone that is commonly named, but to such a one who is real. Therefore I will sing unto the Lord, my Savior. From what has the Lord saved us? He has saved us from our sins. This is the glorious name that was given to him, his name to be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, if that blessed truth has been made known to us, I will sing unto the Lord Jesus, my Savior, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He hath saved me from my sins. And this may be subdivided, because if he hath saved me from my sins, he has also saved me from death. And if he hath saved me from death, he has saved me from eternal death, which is hell itself. Therefore I will sing unto the Lord my Savior, because he has saved me. And not only so, but my Savior has saved me in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Is it not worth our considering sometimes the salvation which is of God? It is everlasting. It will never come to an end. There will never be a time when, with regret, we shall receive a letter that our salvation is finished and can no longer be continued. No, no. It is an everlasting salvation. Will last right through this life and eternity. Is it not surprising? Is it surprising then that the psalmist should say, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I am thy everlasting salvation." Salvation at the beginning and salvation at the end, and yet there is no beginning and there is no end. For this salvation is eternal and everlasting. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. That will be a bountiful dealing when we, as it were, come close together and we're able to say, "O Christ, thou art the fountain, the full sweet well of love." And that brings us to another point. I will sing unto the Lord, the fountain which is open for sin and for all uncleanness. If we have been shown that, then is it not an indication of the Lord's bountiful dealing with us? A fountain there shall be opened at Jerusalem, a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. But then we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the fountain of all joy. All joy. What do we know about joy? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul speaks of it when he writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he speaks of the blessings which were received in much affliction in joy of the Holy Ghost. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord as ye received the word in much affliction in joy of the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus Christ is the fountain of joy. I will sing unto the Lord, my fountain of my joy, because he hath done great things for me. He hath dealt bountifully with me. Joy in Christ Jesus. He is my joy. We find the psalmist rejoicing in this, at thy right hand. There are joys and pleasures forevermore. But then I will sing unto the Lord, who is great above all gods. How good when we see the Lord in his greatness, the greatness of his glory. Well, so there is only one God. That there is only one Saviour. That there is only one that is able to save unto the uttermost. That there is only one by whom we may come unto God. That is Jesus Christ. I will sing unto the Lord, then my mediator. That one that stands between, in garments dyed in blood, so that he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Will this not cause us to sing? Have we sometimes entered into the spirit of the psalmist? I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Bountifully in showing me that there is a mediator, Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What bountiful dealing! If God has shown you that man, that you have felt and proved in your experience that he is your mediator. I will sing unto the Lord, my mediator. one that can take my case in hand and speak for me. Very similarly, I am our advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I will sing unto the Lord. Can we sing unto the Lord, our advocate? Have we got a bad case? Do we find it is impossible for us to put it into words in order that we may present the matter in such a way that we shall be overcomers, that we shall be heard, that we shall be accepted? I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He has taken up my case, and he has presented it in such a way that it has been successful, and it's been honorably presented. He has said exactly what the truth is, that I'm a sinner, vile and base. But he has also said, but I will stand in his place, or her place. And that's wonderful. I will sing unto the Lord, my advocate, who not only presented the case presented it in its badness, but also presented it in its goodness. And that goodness was found in himself. And so he says, I will be the surety. Brings us on to this. I will sing unto the Lord my surety. Now how wonderful it is to have a man, a real man in heaven, who is willing to accept full responsibility to ensure that we get there. You know, if we get to heaven, we do not get there on our own ability or on our own strength, but we get there because, one, even our Lord Jesus Christ has made himself responsible and has given his oath that we shall get there. Therefore, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath dealt bountifully with me. Who can touch the heights and depths of the love of God, who was willing to become a surety for my case, for your case? Can you believe that that is true of you? What did this involve when the Lord Jesus Christ stood as a surety? Well, it involved this, that he had to suffer, that he had to accept the heavy weight of sin that belonged to one and another of us, and to endure the curse and the shame and the spitting and the pain and the anguish, all as our surety. Oh, then, if our heart should be touched, our cord should be touched, then I will sing unto the Lord my surety. What it cost him. You know, the word of God tells us in the Proverbs, if a person be a surety, he shall smart for it. There's no doubt that Jesus Christ smarted for being a surety. He smarted in his own person. Oh, the agonies that he bore because he was willing to stand, willing to endure, willing to receive the punishment due to sinners. He knew how wicked man had been. He knew that God must punish sin. And for his people, then he said, I'll bear the punishment instead. Will this not call forth a voice of praise and thanksgiving? To see, to hear the words spoken, if you should be dejected, if you should feel that your sins are weighing you down, I'll bear the punishment instead. On such love my soul still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free, say whilst lost in holy wonder, Why such love, O Lord, for me? So then, on this account, I will sing unto the Lord my surety, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. The whole dealing has been the result of love. But how shall we continue? I will sing unto the Lord, worshipping the Lord in praise and thanksgiving because of what he is to me. What is the Lord Jesus to us? John Newton picks up a very important point from the scriptures. What think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. Now, let us take one or two points of his characters of Christ further. I will sing unto the Lord, who is my friend. I feel that's a wonderful line of the hymn. 'Twas Jesus my friend, when he hung on the tree, that opened the channel of mercy for me. What grace is given to us that we should be able to exercise such faith and say, he is my friend? And what should we say ourselves, or concerning ourselves? We think of that wondrous view given to us. I stood amazed and wondered when or why this ocean rose that brought salvation down to men, his traitors and his foes. Were we not identified in that very situation at one time? Is it not therefore amazing for us to reflect upon this? Was Jesus my friend when he hung on the tree that opened the channel of mercy for me? I will sing unto the Lord my friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Do you ever feel that he is friendly disposed towards you? That he has befriended you? You know, sometimes we come across cases where a child is lost, perhaps orphaned, and we find, or rather hear, that someone has befriended them. Now Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Was it not as my friend? I will sing unto the Lord my friend, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Certainly has dealt bountifully with me, because if he is my friend, then I am his friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. What a remarkable expression, the friend of God. Now, are we the friends of God? If we are, it is the result of God's dealing with us bountifully, because it means that our heart has been altered. We were enemies by wicked works at one time, and therefore we were at enmity with God and his Christ. But can we sing this evening because The Lord Jesus is our friend, and we are his friends. Now, what does the scripture say? Ye are my friends when ye do those things that I command you. I will sing unto the Lord my friend, and singing unto the Lord my friend, because he hath dealt bountifully with me, will surely bring us to consider, what does my friend say to me? What is it that he desires me to do? Well, we think of that incident recorded in the Gospels where there was one that called for some loaves because a friend of his had come in his journey. And you know, he said, the man that had this request presented to him, he said, I and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give thee. But because of his importunity, so he eventually got up and gave him that he required. Similarly, we may remember this, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them? I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me in bearing long with me, and yet he has heard me, and he has watched over me, and he has delivered me from mine enemies. And when I have been short, he has readily provided. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Are there those this evening amongst us that need God to arise? You know, the psalmist says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. How quickly, when God arises out of his place, his enemies, the enemies of his people, yea, his enemies, will be scattered. When hosts of enemies rise up to fill us with dismay, his goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. We have several literal instances in the scriptures concerning Israel of old, where the Lord dealt with their enemies in a remarkable way. And we think of that great host of the Assyrians who were ready to envelop and destroy Israel. But the Lord sent his angel through the camp, and when they got up in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. We may have a spiritual experience like that, where we go to bed at night and there are many enemies. There are many enemies. And they're set upon destroying us, tempting us to despair. But when they got up in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Have you ever got up in the morning and your enemies seem to be no longer there? And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Therefore I will sing unto the Lord, my avenger, especially because he hath dealt bountifully with me in bearing with me, in bearing with my manners, in bearing with my importunity. In one of the psalms we read, the psalmist said, I will sing of mercy and of judgment. I will sing and give praise. So I will sing unto the Lord for his mercy. His mercies, how great they are. We often think about them. We often refer to them. Use the expression. Sometimes we may use it almost glibly, but to feel that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Where do the mercies of the Lord come from? They come from him that sits upon the mercy seat and who has said, there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. I will sing unto the Lord as a result of the Lord's communion from above the mercy seat. This singing does not necessarily have to be vocal. Sometimes it is, but sometimes there is a singing in the heart, a singing in the soul, when the lips do not move, but our hearts are filled with joy and peace in believing. I will sing at the mercy seat. I will sing unto the Lord, though the Lord communes with men, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Where? At the mercy seat. And have we valued the mercy seat and felt that it is in that very place where the Lord Jesus has communed with us? It is at such a place that we may expect him to say, come now and let us reason together. For though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The mercy seat. Therefore I will sing and give praise. I will sing unto the Lord, unto him that sits upon the mercy seat, that deals bountifully with me, insofar that he communes with me. Communion with God is a great blessing. Maybe we are sad because we have comparatively little experience of it. Our desires are that we might have more, even though they are feeble desires, because we know that such occasions are choice occasions. I will sing. Just notice the effect of that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ had upon two disciples, those well-known characters walking on the road to Emmaus, when they were filled with dejection and despondency. Do we get dejected sometimes? Do we get despondent? Because as we look at things on the face of them, there they seem to be just desolation. Well, as they were dejected and as they were despondent, we read that the Lord himself drew near and went with them. They didn't stop. They were still walking on their journey. He went with them. He joined with them and he inquired about the reason of their dejection, the reason of the sadness upon their faces. And they said, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and knowest not the things that have taken place there in recent days? And he said, what things? And then they told him. And he said subsequently, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so they proceeded, and they came near to their house. And he made as they would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for the day is far spent," and he went in to tarry with them. And as he went in to tarry with them, so he broke bread and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and he vanished out of their sight. And then they said, "Did not our hearts," and they knew him, and they said, then they said, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way, and how he opened to us the scriptures? I will sing unto the Lord, for the communion that I have received from him, for the heart burning that I received while he was with me, and for the wonderful opening of the scriptures that he gave to me. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Those disciples would surely not forget that occasion. You will not forget an occasion wherein the Lord has stirred up your desires, has stirred up your longings, so that you've been willing to forsake everything, that your ears have been glued to his speaking, and you've heard nothing and been aware of nothing. "I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Now sometimes the Lord may grant unto his people special favors and revelation, some more than others, for his purposes are to be worked out. And if some should receive more than others, it is not that they should in any way look down upon those that have received less. We are reminded of the psalmist's words, "That thou givest them they gather, and those that gathered much had none over, and those that gathered little had no lack." Often our blessings are connected with our trials. Hence we find Moses saying, "Make us glad according to the years wherein thou hast the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Make us glad, that I may sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." But should it be that the Lord will take you into his especial confidence, lift your souls up on high, bring you into a heavenly place in Christ Jesus, so that the world, although it's round about you, does not have any effect on you, then your whole spirit, as it were, is carried up, as Paul speaks about. "I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into the third heaven. And he saw things that it was not lawful for man to see." That is, that it was not possible for him to describe what he saw. "I will sing unto the Lord for the abundance of the revelation." Now, we would not ride too high at this point, because if we've had any revelation at all, it is every reason that we should sing unto the Lord. If the Lord has been our hope, if he has been the God of hope, let us not despise it. Because the time will come when he may enlarge, take you into the interpreter's house. You know, the Christian, and I think faithful, they went along a little way before they came to the interpreter's house. And there were many strange things there that were revealed to them. And maybe the Lord will take you into the interpreter's house. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We think of countless lines. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And toward the end of the hymn, we get this. God is his own interpreter. I will sing unto the Lord, my interpreter. God, we read of it in Elihu's speech that there is an interpreter, one among a thousand. And what is it that the interpreter speaks about? He speaks about this, that I have found a ransom to deliver him from going down into the pit. And to come back to our point of Paul's revelation, he needed the revelation that he had. He had to preach to sinners. He had to know that the Lord lived for sure. And therefore, he was blessed with those exceptional things. But if we may have our revelations, how shall we know when we have had these revelations from God? They are received in much affliction. Very often. Affliction before, affliction after. Now we find this, that Paul gives us this testimony. And lest I should be exalted above measure, by reason of the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. And it is remarkable that that verse begins with the same sentence with which it ends. So, we may observe this, that God has, as it were, tied this great promise. There was given to me a messenger of Satan, bound up around this, lest I should be exalted above measure. We may not always understand why we go through painful paths, but can we look at it? Can we consider it? Is it because God has favored us? Is it because God has shown us something special about himself? Something that we didn't realize? Something concerning his blessed Godhead? Something about the richness of the eternal Spirit? A glory about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because we have a nature that is sinful, we need something to control us. And God sends something to control us. And it is the messenger of Satan to buffet us. Now, we are given no particular detail in regard to that messenger of Satan, but some of you might know what it is. And bear this in mind, that when the messenger of Satan does come to buffet you, it is because God has blessed you and given you some certain revelation of the glory of Christ and the wonder of his love and the excellency of his name and the greatness of his person. I will sing unto the Lord for his great favor to me. I will sing unto the Lord for his judgment. For the psalmist says, I will sing of mercy and of judgment. The judgments of God are past finding out. And who can find out the strange manner and means of God in sending a messenger of Satan? God gives no account of his matters. But may we be able to believe this, that what he does for the best. Can you imagine where you would be, or I imagine where I would be, if there was not something to keep us down after we'd been favored with only a little light. How quickly we get lifted up. And God says you must come down and you must keep low. If you are to know revelations of the Lord, then you must be on the low plane. The revelation of the Lord given to the man that fell among thieves was on a low plane. He came where he was. And we should observe this in respect to the ways of God. It is not that he says to you, come up here. But it is that he says, I will come down to you and I will show you. I'm a good physician and a nurse. I will show you that I can come where you are. You can't come where I am. I will sing unto the Lord, who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. And in so doing, because the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Now the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. If we should be able to sing unto the Lord, my Redeemer, who has bought me back, and who has shed his precious blood to put away sin, and not only so, has sent forth his Holy Spirit to apply that blood and to say that you're clean. You're clean. When that is so, then we shall sing. I will sing. Not to people generally, but unto the Lord. Now isn't it wonderful when in our singing we sing unto the Lord? We often may feel condemned in our singing because we may be afraid that there was no worship in it at all. There was no single eye to the glory of God. We sung. We were influenced by the tune and very little influenced by the words, and therefore there was little worship in our singing. But sometimes it's different. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath dealt bountifully with me. We read of the exhortation in the scripture, with melody in my heart, with melody. Now here we get a blending together of the fruits of the Spirit, of joy and peace in believing. How good it is when our singing is dominated by true joy and true peace and true faith. And there's no law against this. Therefore, we are free. I will sing unto the Lord who hath made me free. Who hath made me free. Because he has paid my mighty debt. Paid is the mighty debt they owed. Salvation is of grace. Therefore, I will sing unto the Lord. But how shall we sing? If we use the word rejoice, we are reminded of this. Rejoice with trembling. And if God's paid your mighty debt, you will not sing in a light way. You will rejoice with trembling, trembling upon your spirit, amazed at the wonderful mercy of God that he should have said, I'll pay your debt. Why? If you were in debt in ordinary circumstances and a person came to you in the time of your distress and say, I'll pay your debt, well, do you think you could keep the tears back? Do you think you could prevent yourself from trembling at this unexpected intervention? Then how much more when we come to consider our solemn feeling about our sins, and the Lord comes in all his simplicity and says, I'll pay your debt. Shall we not tremble? We shall rejoice, but shall we not tremble? Shall we not be, so to speak, shattered by the greatness of the blessing, by the wonder of the love of this man who has come and simply said, I'll pay your debt? And this is what it's all about. True religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And you'll feel something if God says, but I've paid your debt. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath dealt bountifully with me. May we be able to say so, to the honor and glory of God. Amen. Of the Eternal Spirit be with us all.